It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome to the show. Do you remember the golden tickets from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? Well, in California, they don't have golden tickets, but they do have two golden opportunity deer tags they are raffling off for the first time. These tags allow hunters, both residents and non-residents, to take any legal buck by any legal means anywhere in the state between July 10th through December 31st. These tags, there's five of them. They're typically sold at conservation organization auctions, and they generally bring in north of $48,000 apiece. But this year, two of these tags are available to anyone through the 2021 Big Game Drawing for a $7.05 application fee. You can put in your application for these tags now through June 2nd through the California Department of Fish and Wildlife online license sales and services website, and there's no limit as to how many applications or raffle chances, if you prefer, that you decide to purchase. I've got to admit, it is really tempting to put in for a chance to win this golden ticket, and I'll take the opportunity for a deer hunt like this over a tour of a chocolate factory any day. By the way, if you are going deer hunting this fall, you might want to pick up a Henry Long Ranger rifle. They come in several great deer calibers to include 243, 308, or mine, the popular 6.5 Creedmoor. They look incredible, they feel great, and trust me, they shoot straight right out of the box. And like all Henry rifles, they have a lifetime satisfaction guarantee, and they are made in America. If you want to find out more about this long-range shooting lever-action rifle, you can find out more and find an authorized dealer by going to henryusa.com. And don't forget to ask for your free catalog and decals while you're there. And if you have any questions, just contact the award-winning customer service staff. They will be happy to help you out. That website again, henryusa.com. This week on the show, we've got some really interesting conversations coming your way. One of them is with Chris Moody. He's the owner of Gar Fishing Addiction. He guides folks for big, mean-looking alligator gar on the Trinity River in Texas. And if you're looking for a really unique fishing opportunity, this definitely qualifies. We'll also get to chat with Kirk Bosley today. He hails from Amarillo, Texas, and he just won the Bass Nation Central Regional Tournament at Milford Lake in Kansas last week. But as for the fishing, it was rotten. So rotten that on one of the tournament days, two-thirds of the anglers didn't even catch a keeper fish. Kirk will tell you how he battled through all of this and how the single fish he caught on day three of this tournament put him over the top and made him the winner. Now, the weather might have been cold in Kansas last week, but a lot of places have been more warm than cold as of late, and there's been some beautiful spring weather that has gotten droves of folks to state parks and campgrounds to go camping already. That's why Ryan Neely will be joining us towards the end of the program to give you some advice about some products from Camp Chef you might want to take with you when you go car camping so you can enjoy some great meals cooked off a propane stove as opposed to a burnt hot dog on a stick that's roasted over a fire. Next on America Outdoors Radio, if you love the outdoors like I do, you're probably consuming it in a lot of different ways. Yes, you can certainly do so by listening to this radio show, but you know, there's a lot of magazines out there. There's a lot of good ones that are digital magazines too. One of them that I like is American Outdoor News, and we've got the founder and president, Chris Avina, on the line. Chris, it's great to have you on the air.
Good to be on, John. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I really want to let folks know about your free, that's right, folks, free online quarterly magazine, because it's a good read. It's really laid out quite well, and you've got some really high-profile individuals in that magazine. You've profiled Randy Newberg, Bo Jackson, Jim Shockey, among others. Tell our listeners more.
Yeah, I've been pretty fortunate. The magazine actually kind of started on accident. You know, I was looking to buy a magazine and I ended up starting it on my own. And I've been very fortunate with friends in the industry coming to be on the cover. And I've had some great interviews. It's really been a great adventure.
Well, I think you probably did the smart thing by starting on your own and doing a digital magazine. I mean, after all, you take a look at some very well-known publications like Outdoor Life, Field & Stream. They're not in print anymore. I mean, last year, they made the decision to print their last issue. They are also online magazines. And I'm guessing the expenses are a lot less. You clearly have advertisers that support you. But this allows you to offer, again, free subscriptions. People don't have to pay a dime to read quality information, do they?
You know, print advertising or print magazines, the margins are getting very slim and it's getting very expensive to print those. And the simple fact of the matter is, who has the time to read a magazine that they get in the mail?
Right.
You get home from a hard day, you sit down, you look at it, you say, oh, that looks like it's going to be a good issue, and you put it down, and before you know it, the next issue comes. I'm guilty of it myself. So people will read a magazine while they're on the treadmill, off their phone or tablet. You could really read it anywhere. You know, as long as you're on the go, you have a tablet or a phone with you, your computer with you, you can really kill some time and read some great articles.
Well, speaking of which, you've got some really good quality writers that contribute to your magazine. Again, this is a quarterly magazine, folks. One of those writers, Paul Atkins from Alaska. I've had him on the air. I've got great respect for him as an outdoors writer.
Yeah, Paul always, he's a very talented writer, and he writes about his amazing adventures and experiences living in Alaska and the hunts that he's been on. I love getting his articles because I'm a fan of his writing. But, you know, Larry Wyzoon has written for me since the day I started the magazine. Craig Boddington, Brittany Boddington have written for me. I've been very fortunate with friends that have really stepped up to help me make this magazine successful.
I have noticed, at least the last couple of issues, that the magazine tends to trend more towards hunting and the shooting sports than fishing. And that's okay. I mean, there is definitely fishing content in there, but the other two subjects seem to be a little more dominant. Does that reflect your interest as an outdoorsman?
Yes, it absolutely does. I'm more of a hunter and shooting sports enthusiast, and I just love the outdoors. I'm in New York. You wouldn't think I grew up being in the outdoors, but I grew up camping and fishing and going on different adventures with my uncle. And, you know, we try to touch a little bit on everything in the outdoors. Although we're mostly hunting and shooting sports, we recently took on a fishing writer, Josh Bandosky from Bandosky Power Fishing. He has a regular fishing column. And, you know, we've had people write about summiting Mount Kilimanjaro and
oh, wow,
things to do on a day hike, things you should pack just in case. It's a little bit of everything, the outdoors. And, you know, we like to try new things. Last issue, we introduced articles from our subscribers. We have another article coming in from one of our subscribers about a bear hunt in this issue. So we like to try new things. We like to showcase things about our membership, people who hunt. There's a trophy section where we will showcase your animals that you tagged out throughout the season, wherever you hunted, whether you were in Africa or Maine or Argentina, whatever you beg, send me a picture and I'll put it in our trophy section.
All right. The website to go to, folks, is AmericaOutdoorNews.com to do just that and also to subscribe to this free quarterly magazine. We got about a minute left, but I want to get in one more thing. In addition to the magazine, you've also got a podcast and a brand new partnership with Waypoint TV. What does this mean?
I'm so excited about this. We started the podcast last year really to cross-market the magazine, but it's taken on a life of its own and really allowed us to expand our talking points and get into more about the Second Amendment and things of that nature. And I was able to connect with Waypoint, and our podcast is hosted on Waypoint. Our streaming video you can find on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Samsung TV, Roku, and other streaming services that are hosted through Waypoint as well. So we're very excited about it, and we look forward to big things coming in the future. Paul Atkins will be on our podcast next week. Dusk and Jemmy from Live the Wildlife TV, and his new show is A Fish Out of Brooklyn. Nice. Dusk is a New Yorker like me, but he grew up in Brooklyn in the city streets, and now he's an avid outdoorsman. He takes people outdoors, so that's going to be an exciting interview.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. Again, folks, it's American Outdoor News. Check out the podcast on Waypoint TV and other platforms, and subscribe to the quarterly magazine for free at AmericanOutdoorNews.com. I think you're going to enjoy it as much as I do. Chris, thanks for sharing this with us today. Keep up the great work.
Thanks so much, John.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms, American-made. There's over 200 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, accurate, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, a nationwide group working to keep public lands in public hands so future generations can enjoy what we enjoy. Join the group that makes a difference. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and we've got something completely different for you as an angler. We are heading to the great state of Texas, and we are checking in with Chris Moody. He is the owner of Gar Fishing Addiction. He has a guide service that specializes in catching really big alligator gar. Chris, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Chris, most of our listeners have never seen an alligator gar in their lives. The pictures I've seen on your website, they are a scary-looking fish. I mean, yes, they're a gar. B, they're big. And boy, oh boy, their heads look a lot like an alligator. Tell our listeners more about these fish.
Right, yes, sir. That's actually where they get their name, is just because of their head. And it does, on the larger fish, it looks exactly like a big alligator. You know, there's several species of gar. You know, there's a short nose, spotted, long nose, and alligator gar. And the alligator gar are actually the biggest of all the species, and they can go over 300 pounds.
Wow.
And, you know, 8 to 9 foot. Is about the largest they've ever been recorded. You hear lots of rumors, and you hear people all the time talking about fish 12 to 14 foot long. But, you know, really in modern times, nothing has even been documented of a fish over 9 foot long. Even some of the fossil data that goes back, because these fish date back for millions of years, and even some of the fossils, you know, that date back, they really haven't recorded any fish of these mega size tails you hear from a lot of anglers, you know, around, especially in the South here.
Well, I'll tell you what, an 8-9 foot alligator gar, that's an impressive fish. I've got to ask, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but I'm sure people have asked you, do they attack people? You know, are people swimming have to worry about alligator gar like they do alligators?
No, sir. You know, there's never been a documented case of an alligator gar attacking a person. Like, even when we boat and handle these fish, a lot of my clients take photos in the water with them. Now, they're not really even like, you know, a shark will actually try to bite you, you know, if you get your hand near it.
Right.
You know, when it's out of the water. And a gar's flail and flop around and swing their head. And I actually have been... I've never been bitten, per se, but I have gotten some stitches where one swung its head and hit my hand and actually cut me with the teeth, because sometimes they protrude out a little bit. But they're not aggressive, you know, at all, unless you're a fish. Now, you're probably in trouble if you're swimming in the same water with them. But.
I believe that. So where do you fish for them in Texas, and what are some of the traditional, you know, hot spots in terms of rivers where you find alligator gar?
Actually, I guide on the Trinity River, a pretty long river. It's around 700 miles long, you know, from the top of the state of Texas, and it winds all the way down into the Gulf of Mexico, into Trinity Bay. And I guide about an hour and a half south of the Dallas-Fort Worth area and launch on the Trinity River here. And, you know, the Trinity is probably not, you know, the best known source for alligator gar, and it's actually the number one source for alligator gar. There's several rivers here in the state that have them and reservoirs as well. I would say one of the other more popular rivers in the state is the Sabine River, which it does the same thing as the Trinity. It winds through the state and then dumps into the Gulf Coast down there. But the Sabine River has alligator gar, the Red River, and, you know, also there's a smaller river called the Neches River as well, and it also has alligator gar. And there's multiple reservoirs and lakes throughout the state that actually have alligator gar in them too as well, but it just all depends on the tributaries and what feed them. You know, there's a reservoir here close to where I'm at, and it has the lake record on it is over 200 pounds, and it's because two of the creeks that actually the lake was built upon actually fed into the Trinity River, and these gar migrated up the creeks, you know, throughout the years before the reservoir was built. So, of course, then the reservoir has them in them as well.
Folks, you're listening to America Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Chris Moody. He's the owner of Gar Fishing Addiction, a guide service where you can go fishing for alligator gar in Texas. Now, I know there's two ways to catch a gar. Number one is using a bow and arrow. The other way, and it's the way you do it, is with a rod and reel. How exactly do you catch an alligator gar?
Well, you know, I'm using heavy saltwater tackle. I'm using 130-pound braided line and heavy steel leader. Like I use anywhere from 135 to 170-pound steel leader. And we use just large chunks of fresh cut bait. I would say carp is the most popular bait here in this part of the country for them. But they, you know, people use carp, buffalo, and even farther south where you get towards the coast, they use mullet and tilapia and other species of fish for bait. But here where I primarily use a fresh cut carp for bait and use a piece, I would say, you know, around a pound or better, you know, for these fish. And alligator gar are pretty peculiar type fish, even though their size and all their teeth, they're really finicky eaters. And once a fish picks the bait up, you just have to be pretty patient and give them time with it. They'll sometimes will swim around with the bait 10, 15, 20 minutes just holding the bait in the front part of their mouth. So
Try
to set the hook on the initial run when a fish takes off, you'll actually miss the fish. You might hook him just a split second, but then he's going to spit the bait out.
Interesting. Really interesting. A question when it comes to the bait. You know, I live in the Pacific Northwest, and everyone is really big on using scents for fishing up here. Do you use any scent on the bait you're using for alligator gar, or do you just throw it out naked, so to speak?
No, just the actual bait, no scents whatsoever. I think that's one of the reasons the fresh-cut carp works good. You know, it's a real fishy, bloody-type fish, and like here in the Trinity, most of the time, you know, you're fishing a stained water or even a muddy water. When we get rains, the river gets basically like chocolate milk color.
Right.
And so these fish are feeding specifically off of scent alone, so that's how they're tracking the bait down.
On an average day of alligator gar fishing, how many fish are your clients hooking into?
We boat on a typical day anywhere from 5 or 6 fish to a dozen or more, depending on the day. Now, because of the way these fish feed and the way they take the bait, like I mentioned earlier, sometimes we might, you know, have a couple dozen runs or more where these fish will actually take the bait. But they're a type of fish where you just don't hook up every time you get a bite, because a lot of times these fish will pick up a bait and sometimes take it, you know, a couple of hundred yards and they just decide they don't want it and spit it out. And when I mention take the bait, I'm using a reel that has a free spool capabilities, because if they feel any resistance when they pick up your bait, they'll spit it out. So you've got to have a reel that you can take out of gear or flip the free spool where they can just actually take line. So a lot of times when we have a fish take a bait, they might take the bait a couple hundred yards from where they actually picked it up, and we'll crank the boat up and follow that fish to stay closer to him, and then before we even set the hook.
Chris, this is absolutely fascinating. One last question. What do your clients do with the fish? Is it catch and release? Are they taking home big ones as trophies, or are they taking them home to eat?
You know, 99% of my clients, you know, are all just a catch and release type fishery. I've actually tagged around 600 the last 2 years for the state of Texas. They have a tagging program where these fish are being tagged, and in the tag, it's not a telemetry type tag. It's just basically a tag with a tag number and a phone number on there. And then if another angler happens to catch this fish, they can call that number and then get some data on where the fish was originally tagged and how long it was when it was tagged. So the state is using this data to track travel patterns and just basically growth rates of these fish here in the state.
We have got to go, but I'll tell you what, Chris, you have got me wanting to go alligator gar fishing. And folks, if you feel the same way, the website to go to is garfishingaddiction.com. That's garfishingaddiction.com. If you want to tangle with some really big, really toothy, hard-fighting fish, alligator gar fishing sounds like a whole lot of fun and a really unique experience. Chris, thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand access to the outdoors. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org.
Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we are hitting the bass tournament trail. Now, I want you to imagine fishing a bass tournament and coming in with 9 bass that weigh 23.5 pounds. And you're thinking to yourself, well, that's a few bass too many. We only get to bring in 5 bass a day. And that's true. We're talking about a 3-day tournament where a grand total of 9 bass weighing 23.5 pounds was the winning limit. And with us here is the man who caught that limit in 3 days of very tough fishing at Lake Milford in Kansas. His name is Chris Bosley. He hails from Amarillo, Texas, home of our affiliate KGNC AM 710. Chris, congratulations.
Thank you, John.
So, Chris, you won this as part of the TNT Fireworks Bass Nation Central Regional. Why don't we start off by telling folks a little bit about the Bass Nation Tournament Series. This is the one that's pretty much open to any weekend warrior that wants to get in, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. It's the grassroots operation of BASS, and join a local club, become a part of that club, and ultimately you can fish your way all the way up through Central Divisional and on to Nationals or whichever division you might be a part of, depending on where you're at in the country.
So this was the Bass National Central Regional, and like you said, this is how you work your way up to the national championship, and by winning this, you did punch your ticket to get into the national champion. For the third time, I might add, you beat out 159 other anglers. Let's talk a little bit about Milford Lake in Kansas. I presume this is normally a good place to go bass fishing. Tell our listeners a little bit more about this reservoir that's nearly 16,000 acres.
It is the largest reservoir in Kansas. I had to do my own research to determine that and anything else that I could find out. I had never visited the lake before. I honestly had to look it up on the map to figure out where I was going to be driving to compete. But the lake does typically this time of year fish better than it did when we were there. We were faced with some brutal cold front conditions. We woke up to 6 inches of snow the final pre-fish day.
Oh my gosh.
2 days before the tournament started. So.
Wow. Yeah, that definitely puts the fish off the bite. Is this a largemouth bass lake, a spotted bass, or a smallmouth bass lake?
It is predominantly largemouth and smallmouth. There was one spotted bass weighed in, to my knowledge. I chose to fish specifically for smallmouth bass to start the tournament. Based upon my pre-fish, it seemed the smallmouth were somewhat easier to catch as far as 15-inch minimum length limit fish in that lake, as opposed to the largemouth, just seemed to be fewer and further between to catch the keeper fish.
Very interesting. So the fishing was tough because of the cold front. Let's talk about how tough that was. You were literally one of only two anglers in the boating division that even brought in a 5-fish limit on day one, weren't you?
Yes, sir, I was. The fishing was extremely difficult. We had high winds out of the north the first day of competition, which made the lake fish even smaller just for the fact of people trying to avoid the wind. Myself and a few of the other competitors on day one braved the conditions best we could, because that windblown bank was a key ingredient of the bite the first day. You know, really breaking up silhouette of the bait, and it was a little bit easier to trigger those fish and get them to bite. For the number of fish in the lake and the number of competitors on the lake and all of them having the same resources at their disposal to determine where those fish should be that time of year, predominantly pre-spawn pattern, most everyone had figured out pretty well where the fish were, and they were seeing a lot of baits all through pre-fish and during the tournament.
How did you get those 5 fish to bite?
The first day I caught 5 keepers. 2 of them were on a Ned rig. One of them was within the first 10 minutes of my fishing starting that morning. I think the low light conditions and windblown bank had a lot to do with that. With that Ned rig, you could not fish it too slow, and you, in my opinion, couldn't fish too small of a bait. I was actually using a Z-Man TRD and cutting it down about 3/4 of an inch. That triggered 2 of those fish that day. The other 3 came on a storm wigglewort in a natural craw color, all 3 of which it took a significant deflection off of a rock to trigger those fish to bite. You couldn't just reel it through the water column. You had to be grinding the bottom and get that bait to kick off to the side and really hunt to get a reaction bite out of them.
Gotcha. As tough as day one was, day two was even worse. 116 of the 160 anglers were skunked, didn't catch a single fish. You managed to catch 3, correct?
Yes, sir. I had 3 the second day. I believe those fish weighed 6 pounds, 2 ounces. I fished the same area of the lake on the south end. We had essentially 180-degree shift in wind direction from day one to day two, which meant that most of those areas on the south end were more wind-checked. And that day, it required me slowing down even more with a 1/16-ounce Ned rig and literally just trying to count every single rock on the bottom. I was fortunate in that day that 2 of the fish that I caught, I had literally hung the Ned rig up on a rock, and by twitching the rod tip, trying to free the bait, it finally triggered those fish. I have no doubt they were just sitting there looking at it the entire time, and it shook in front of their nose long enough that they eventually took the bait off of the rock for me, unhung the bait, and I was extremely blessed to have gotten those fish in and gotten them to bite to start with.
Oh my goodness. Sometimes it is better to be lucky than good, though I think you're definitely both with this victory. The last day, you only caught 1 fish, but it was the fish that put you over the top, a 3-pound, 14-ounce largemouth, wasn't it?
It was. You know, for the first 4 hours of the final day of competition on an 8-hour day, I was at the south end of the lake again, begrudgingly trying to make those fish bite, trying to trigger them every way I possibly could. Managed to catch 1 drum and 2 short smallmouths. I had probably a dozen other bites, and fish were literally just nudging the bait. Just 1 small tap, that was it. You couldn't get them triggered thereafter. They'd seen way too many baits. It was almost calm conditions. Not bright skies, which in my opinion helps a reaction bite with those smallmouth. And I discussed with my co-angler the fact that we needed to take a break from that and run up to the muddy water and fish for largemouth for at least an hour just to try to get myself back into it mentally and hopefully get a key bite or two. Within 20 minutes of arriving first pocket, I decided to fish on a 1.5 red craw, delta craw square bill from Strike King. I deflected that square bill off of a tree trunk in about 3.5 foot of water. And as soon as it deflected, it immediately just stopped entirely. And I knew it was a good fish. As I brought her by the boat in that stained water, all I could see was line in her mouth. The bait was entirely gone. I knew she had choked it good. I got the fish turned around, wore down, and boat flipped her. She was a little larger than what I thought I'd seen in the water. And again, that was the one keeper of the day that I caught. Approximately 5 minutes thereafter, I did hang another good fish on that square bill. after I had hung the bait up on a limb and was able to pop it free, triggered the fish to bite immediately. Had that one hooked up for just a minute, never saw it, but felt like a quality fish and lost it. So that committed me to the remainder of the day, grinding it out with that square bill. I managed to catch another half dozen or so short largemouth, just nothing over the 15-inch mark, and honestly was quite certain going in with just one fish that day that it wasn't going to be enough to win the tournament or, for that matter, to move on to nationals, only because the closest competitor behind me, I think I had a 2-pound, 12-ounce lead going into the third day over Christian Gladfelter, another competitor from the New Mexico team. And although I live in Amarillo, Texas, I competed through New Mexico to advance on to the divisional tournament there, Central Divisional. And had Christian had more weight than me, ultimately, he would have moved on to nationals. I would not have, regardless of where we actually finished in the tournament, which was first and second. Hats off to Christian. He grounded out very well. I believe I wound up knocking him out by 9 ounces. And unfortunately for him, having bested all but one other competitor in the entire tournament, because we were both from the state of New Mexico and competing for their team, he does not get to advance to nationals, and I do. So.
Oh, well, that's a shame for him, but I'll tell you what, good for you for, number one, persevering through 3 days of just rotten fishing and figuring out to the point where you're the person who is number one, takes home the $5,000 check, and more importantly, goes to nationals. Last question, when and where is the Bass Nation Championship?
The Bass Nation Championship this year, 2021, will be November 3rd, and that is in Monroe, Louisiana, on the Ouachita River, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Again, another venue I've had honestly never heard of. Going to have to look it up on the map and let my phone give me directions as to how to get down there to find the place. But it is a river system, and from what I understand, it should not be as tough to catch fish that time of year as what we just experienced. But you never know. That close to the coast, I guess we could experience a hurricane or a flood or something that would change the fishing just as much as we did the extreme cold weather there in Milford.
Here's hoping that the weather and the bite's going to be a little bit better during the championship. And here's hoping you come out the winner. I know I'm going to be rooting for you, Chris. And that means if you do win it, I'll be seeing you at the 2022 Bassmaster Classic, right?
Yes, sir. That would be the next step. If I could win that tournament and move on, advance to be able to fish Bassmaster Classic, obviously a dream of all of us anglers that fish BASS at any level. Honestly, that's what the majority of us do it for, is just to be able to move on and ultimately stand on that stage and bask in the glory one day.
Well, dream big. You're a lot closer to getting to that dream than I'll ever be, Chris. And again, we're rooting for you here at America Outdoors Radio. Thanks for sharing your story today.
John, thank you.
The Dalzen, Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores, plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Campers, adventure seekers, hunters, and foodies. No matter the lifestyle, we can all agree on one thing. Great food and great people are worth remembering. At Camp Chef, we don't just make grills. We create each product knowing that a warm meal is always better when it's shared with those we love. Learn more about Camp Chef grills, smokers, and portable cooking equipment at CampChef.com. That's CampChef.com for a better way to cook outdoors.
The election is over, and this is not another political ad. But with a change in president, there is uncertainty. Uncertainty in the market. Will it be up or will it be down? Uncertainty on how the new administration will handle taxes for your retirement. A new report states that the Biden administration may take away key tax benefits to traditional retirement plans. But what if there was a better way? A way to save for retirement tax-free? We can help business owners, freelancers, and regular working folks get on track with their retirement without risk and without taxes. For more information, get your no-cost, tax-free retirement income strategy guide now by calling 888-585-1615. That's 888-585-1615. Find out how sound investment principles can give you a retirement where you eliminate the spend down of your savings and create more income for your retirement tax-free. Call today and get the free guide, 888-585-1615. That's 888-585-1615. Call now, 888-585-1615.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got Ryan Neely on the line. He's the marketing manager for Camp Chef. And Ryan, I want to talk a little bit about car camping and cooking.
Thanks for having me on, John.
I have seen an absolute explosion of campers at campgrounds throughout the Pacific Northwest. As early as the first weekend of April, state parks were absolutely full with campers. A lot of them are fairly new to this. I think they discovered it during the pandemic. Are you seeing the same thing in Utah where Camp Chef is headquartered?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing the same thing. You know, I think it's on the warm weather weekends and definitely in southern Utah, people are getting outdoors. People are getting out and seeing what this great country has to offer.
Well, I know one challenge that some of these new car campers have, whether they're camping in their trucks or their vans or their cars, you know, they're pitching tents or maybe sleeping in the back, but they got to cook. And some of them are doing the classic, well, I guess we'll cook hot dogs over a fire or we'll haul out a charcoal grill and some briquettes, a little one. And there's so many better ways to do it. And I guess we should start off with a couple of the stoves that you have. And I'm talking about some portable ones that got legs and a couple of burners on them. Why don't you talk about the Explorer series and the Pro series?
Yeah, so those two options that you mentioned are kind of what Camp Chef started on 30 years ago. You know that something's good when it sticks around for that long because those designs are very similar today as when we started. But the reason these things are so good is because there's so many different options you can do. You can have this awesome like cast iron grill accessory on the stove. So then you're grilling up steaks or burgers, dogs, whatever. And then you can have your griddle on there, and it's a professional griddle. And you can have some of these accessories mix and match, do it however you want. But you can have a griddle on one side, a grill on the other, or just one big griddle. And it's a good, like a professional griddle, something that you'd see at the cafe. And then we have these really cool artisan ovens that cook very similar to a brick oven or a wood-fired oven. And you can cook great artisan pizza, you know, at like 600, 700 degrees. Or you can tone it down a little bit and do like some baked pasta or biscuits or cookies or something, calzones, whatever. I mean, it's an awesome oven. So it's really cool to have a stove that you can do stove cooking, but then all these other accessories. And that's why that makes it so great for camping, because it does all these things. In fact, not just camping, a lot of these people, that we use them on back patios or in trailers or other things too.
Oh, you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, my Pro 60 is set up on the back patio, but I'm going camping at a state park called Fort Casey. It's on Whidbey Island, right on Admiralty Inlet in Washington State. And our plan is to catch some pink salmon, and we're going to cook those up on the grill box, and we're going to catch some red rock crab. And I've got a big aluminum pot. I'm going to put it on the other 30,000 BTU burner, and we are going to eat like absolute seafood kings and queens and princesses when we are out there.
I'm going to show up for that. Hey, better yet, try this. When you catch one of those salmon, try a cedar plank either on the grill,
okay,
or in that artisan oven that I mentioned. Fantastic.
I will.
Soak the cedar plank in water, season the fish however you'd like, put it in, and it's fantastic.
The other thing I love about these is, A, they're sturdy, and so they're great for the back patio, like you said, but B, they're portable. You know, the legs on the Pro 60, they just fold right up. On the Explorer series, you just unscrew those legs. They both fit into carry bags, so they're perfect for car camping. Now, not everyone's going to have these, but a lot of folks are going to have the traditional two-burner stoves. You've got the Mountain Series stoves. You've got several that work great for car campers, don't you?
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned those, because generally the stuff that we've talked about so far I say that's good for 3 people on up to 10, 15, or even 20 people, depending on what you get.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of times you're cooking for just 5 people, 3, or even 2, or yourself. And the Mountain Series is excellent for that because it gives you a great cooking experience, but it's compact and portable. I mean, it doesn't take much space at all. You know, a lot of these guys who are decking out their vans, their trucks, and doing overland type stuff, they love the Mountain Series type products because they're small and they get the job done and they're durable. You know, you can really beat them up and they withstand some things pretty well.
They do.
In fact, our Everest stove and our Mountaineer are probably some of my favorites.
They're great. I've had one for about 10 years now, and I have definitely beat it up. We should talk about one more stove, though, and this one is great if, like, you're going on a canoeing trip or backpacking, or you just want to travel light, and you're just, like, maybe feeding yourself or maybe 2 people. Maybe you're into freeze-dried food. That's come a long ways. The Striker stove, and I love this because it's a single-burner stove, really lightweight, boils water super quick, and it has not one but 2 fuel sources.
Yeah, the Striker's great, again, with that size. When you're just cooking for yourself or something, check out that Striker stove. Very portable, does not take much room. The other thing is that they have multiple fuel sources, so it'll take isobutane or propane. So you'll be able to find fuel anywhere, at a gas station, sporting goods store, you know, you'll find that fuel where you need it.
Hopefully, we've got some folks tuning in today who are thinking to themselves, you know what? This sounds a lot more liberating than burning hot dogs and marshmallows over the fire. I want to get myself some of these stoves from Camp Chef. Obviously, they can go online to campchef.com. You can order them there. I mean, you're in stores all over the place in North America. What are the few big box stores or chains where folks can find Camp Chef products?
Yeah, you can find them, you know, like Dick's Sporting Goods, Sportsman's Warehouse, Bass Pro, Cabela's, those types of places. But also, you know, check out like your regional farm and ranch stores. We're in a lot of those farm and ranch stores that are more regional across the country. And your local sporting goods store, your mom and pop sporting goods store. Go in there, ask them about Camp Chef, and a lot of times they'll have it.
And if you're looking for recipes, folks, go to campchef.com. They have so many recipes that are easy to make that you can enjoy, whether it be that cedar plank salmon we just talked about or something entirely different in terms of meat, in terms of chicken, in terms of so much more. CampChef.com is the place to go. Check out stores near you for their products and up your cooking game outdoors. When it comes to Camp Chef, their tagline is the way to cook outdoors, and they really do it well. Ryan, thanks so much for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks for having me, John.
This portion of the show was brought to you by our friends at WorkSharp. They're the fine folks out of Ashland, Oregon, who make knife and tool sharpeners that you can use whether you're hunting or fishing or camping or maybe in your shop, maybe in your kitchen, for all of the knives and tools you need sharpened every day when you work and play. WorkSharp tools can be found online at WorkSharpTools.com, or you can find them in sporting goods stores and hardware stores all over our great nation. Just look for WorkSharp products to sharpen your knives and your tools, because nothing is worse than trying to get the job done right with a dull blade. Turning to outdoors news, did you know that there are bison at the Grand Canyon? It's true. There's a herd of some 500 bison that wandered into the north rim of the national park a few years ago, and park officials are worried that herd could grow up to 1,500 animals in the next 10 years. That's why the National Park Service has a bison reduction program going on there. They've already relocated 88 buffalo to tribal lands in the area, but this effort by itself isn't working. So this fall, they are going to lethally remove some of the bison from the herd, and they're looking for volunteers with hunting and shooting experience to help them out with this. This is not a paid gig. It's a volunteer opportunity that takes place between September and October, but in exchange for helping to reduce the herd, you'll get to take home the meat from one of the bison that gets shot. You know the saying, hunting is conservation, or at least a tool to help conserve and protect wildlife and ecosystems, and here is an example of just that. If you want to apply to be one of these volunteer bison sharpshooters, there is a 48-hour application period that starts on May 3rd and closes at midnight on May 4th. The website to go to is azbisonstewards.com. That's AZ for Arizona, bisonstewards.com. I suspect a lot of you are going to be putting in for this, and I wish you luck. It's time to wrap up this week's show and put a bow on it. And as always, I've got to thank our great guests for helping us bring you a fun hour of the outdoors. That includes Ryan Neely from Camp Chef, Kirk Bosley, the man who won that really tough Bass Nation tournament at Milford Lake, Kansas, Chris Moody, a man I really want to go fishing with for Alligator Gar on the Trinity River in Texas, and Chris Avina, the man behind the American Outdoor News magazine and podcast. You can Google any of these people, find out more about them, keep up with them. They're all really interesting folks and great guests, and I look forward to having them on the show again sooner than later. And I'll be rooting for you, Chris Bosley, at the Bass Nation Championship, and with any luck, maybe see you at the Bassmaster Classic in a year or two. I hope our program today inspired you to maybe spend a little bit of time outside doing some fishing or hunting or shooting, because it being the month of May, it's a great time of year to do it. Until next time, here's hoping that you are blessed, here's hoping you're in good health, and here's hoping you get outside to play. After all, it is your country and you're outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.